Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, is making a plan the same as formulating a strategy in your business? My next guest says strategy is key. It's great to welcome Charlie Curson. He's the author of Be More Strategic to the show. Good morning to you, Charlie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Yeah, now I want to start with definition, as I may, or if I may. You say in the book that a plan is a list of actions versus a strategy, which is a set of interrelated, intentional choices about where to play, how to win, what to do or what not to do. Maybe you'd expand on that for me if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. So my experience of working in this field for 25 years, I think a lot of businesses of all shapes and sizes tend to not really have much of a strategy at all. In some cases, it tends to be planning in different guises. The process of planning makes people feel assured, gives them a sense of, sometimes a false sense of certainty, for example. Strategy is much more about choices, options, as you say, interrelated choices, which means the process of it means you've got to be in a position to map out how are you going to get from A to B, how could you get from A to B, what have you not considered before, and this is the interconnection with leadership, of course, having to make those choices often with limited information in uncertain situations, not knowing whether it's right or wrong, and being comfortable to make a choice and commit time, energy, resource to that choice. I think it's a lot more about positioning than it is about planning.
So would I be right to say that executives sometimes make the mistake of erring towards planning because it's the easier go-to, it's more definitive, it's less stressful in the sense that it's a kind of a known objective and it's a tick a box, I do or I don't, whereas maybe strategy can be quite uncomfortable from a leadership perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few things in there. I think your last point about it is uncomfortable. As a professional coach myself, I know that at first hand, working with leadership teams and leaders, executives. I think that's right. I think what happens also, we live in reactive times, right? You know, often people are having to produce metrics and results in quarters, which doesn't help. So the benefit of not just being able to think a little bit longer term, there's very little creativity often in these sort of situations. People jump from one thing to the next, of course. You know, they jump from initiative to initiative, decision to decision, crisis to crisis. Whereas the ability to really stop and pause and ask yourself, do we really have a strategy at all? If we do, is it in maybe the head of our CEO, but no one else understands it? Maybe the executive set it and I work, you know, I run a division. Do I really understand what the choices are that are being made above and why they've made them? So, yeah, I do. I think at a personal level, working with a lot of executives, I think there is a large part of it, which is that. I also think this word control would come in. I think there is for a lot of people at a very human level. People have that. It is reassuring, right? It's reassuring to have that sense of certainty and control. But as I said before, sometimes that can be a little bit of a false sense. People confuse being busy with impact and progress.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you say that the most powerful strategic move is to refuse to play the same game as your competitors and maybe opt out or not do something when the market is, as you also say, addicted to quarterly results. So in that environment of, you know, the next quarterly results and reporting them versus making a decision not to do something or to omit participating in the marketplace, it could be a brave call on the part of the CEO.
It could, yeah, CEO and hopefully a wider team. I think importantly, you can see the pattern already. You know, it's the human side of it. I think it is braver. Go back a step. I say this openly, honestly, working with hundreds of organizations. How well do people really understand what the competition are doing in the first place? And, you know, a lot of people say, well, don't worry about the competition, focus on your customers. But the ability then to be comfortable to do something different, to say no, not to follow the herd, is what makes a difference. The danger is you get a lot of businesses that they sort of mimic, possibly, maybe unintentionally, maybe they wouldn't admit it, but it's almost a kind of benchmark, if you like. But it gives you no advantage. You're simply doing the same as others. I'll give you a very quick example. Would be, let's say, in the gaming world, for example. Hopefully most of your listeners would probably be familiar with a company like Nintendo. In a very competitive space, if you watch them over a 10-plus year period, most of the choices they make very successfully are the polar opposite, really, of their two main rivals. And yet it makes it very hard for the rivals to mimic them because of the choices they've made.
Yeah. So their strategy is always centered around fun, and that wouldn't be the case with their competition.
No, exactly. You know, in that world, you don't need to know, you know, much about that world. I happen to have children of that age, but, you know, it's about performance. It's the next big thing, you know, at a cost. And Nintendo, you're right. They've always gone play. They've gone versatility, but they've also obviously gone more on a much more affordable option, and they've been very successful with it.
Tell me then about some examples of people that you've worked with that are doing this right, in terms of your own experience, Charlie.
The individuals at an individual level as well as organisations, because I think that's a part of this. You know, the book is about, in many ways, as a strategist myself, but as a coach, a lot of this is about, you know, the name of the book being Be More Strategic is really based on experiences of working up close and personal all over the world with thousands of leaders of different organizations, public and private, I should add. And I think this is the pattern you start to see. You start to see the pattern in people, I would argue, are much more competent, effective, impactful strategists, yes, and strategic leaders, have the ability to think strategically, but also act and lead strategically. And at the heart of it, my observation is they are the most self-aware. They are the people who are most aware of their own strengths and weaknesses, their beliefs, their values. They are people who are exceptionally good at listening. They are comfortable to say no. Yes, they are good critical thinkers, but they're also quite creative thinkers. They accept that strategy is a team sport. They don't have all the answers. And they also accept, this may sound obvious, but they also realize that, unfortunately, as you learn when I have had experiences in other high-performing worlds, military, areas of sport, even Michelin-starred kitchens, it's also that wonderful ability to influence, to collaborate and communicate. And I think it's those patterns of behavior you see in leaders who tend to be the most strategic, and they get the results with it over time.
And do they generally walk the talk, you know, by your own observations?
They absolutely walk the talk. And in the true sense of it, you know, they will be comfortable, back to your previous point, they will be comfortable to say no. Yes, they will listen to opinions. They might not agree. They are exceptionally good conversationalists. As I say, they're very good listeners. And they tend to be the people who, they stand out. You know, when you sort of ask a group of people if, you know, maybe partly through their careers, if there was a leader that had a particular impact on them, you tend to see the same pattern. And I would argue it's the same pattern of those people who are more strategic in the way they think and act and lead.
Right. And finally, can I ask you, Charlie, does everyone have the ability to become more strategic, or is it something that you're kind of gifted with?
No, absolutely. In fact, it's a great question. I've just written an article just yesterday on this very subject. It's, in many ways, that's the reason why I wrote the book. I was kind of being nudged to it. I do a lot of leadership development sort of work as well as advisory work, and people kept saying, oh, if you write a book, write a book. And I sort of resisted it a bit. And I think that's exactly it. It's as a topic, you know, to your opening question about strategy versus planning. It's not very well understood. It's a little bit of a word that's stuck in, you know, business schools and academia, or maybe people just think, well, it belongs at the top of our organization. And yet it is an incredibly useful skill that is incredibly learnable. And it's also very applicable in life. you know, most of the people I work with, certainly one-to-one, you meet them in a professional context, and normally within 5-10 minutes, they are saying things to you or asking you whether it's useful to understand a bit more about their life and their background and their beliefs. Of course it is. So it is something that absolutely, I think, anybody can access. In fact, the last thing I'd say is this. I recently had a friend who read the book. He's mid-50s, and he told me the other day that he gave it to his son, who's 20. And he said, firstly, he was amazed because his son read the book in about 2 days, which is unheard of. And he said he came downstairs to the kitchen. He said to his dad, "Dad, it's like a guide to life." So hopefully that helps to answer that question.
Charlie Kirsten, Be More Strategic. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you very much.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.